Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 43 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Shifting Atmospheres, Part 4. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Well, we'll start again today on shifting of atmosphere and what to come in touch with the privilege that we have of serving the creator of the universe. It's really something to come in touch with. You know, we kind of sometimes hear it from a distance. We hear about God, we hear about faith, we hear about the creator of us all. And that reality is somewhat, we can know it, but to come in touch with it in the moment takes a choice and takes a sober approach to the truth and the reality of where we find ourselves today. A lot of people are at home sick, they're in hospitals, they're traveling, they're a lot of different things happen in people's lives, and which is all very understandable. But today God's given us the opportunity to be here, to be together as a congregation, to come together on purpose, with a purpose. And it's that purpose and the purpose of God with that in mind that we all come together today trying to have a focal point of faith. Now, a focal point of faith, when we are approaching the reality of a focal point of faith, we start seeing that for us to come together as a congregation, and as a group, it is required that we have the ability to choose to put every distraction out, just let it fall, every distraction of life. Most distractions are, at least 75% of all distractions are what is not going right in your life by your own estimation. What's not going right in life tends to be a distraction from the focal point. Now, in things of the Spirit and as a prophetic people, focus is everything. It's not something, it is everything. As I've said before, to focus in the prophetic is like a camera taking a picture. Whatever you're focusing on, click, tends to be what develops. What is continuously focused upon tends to be what develops, just like a camera taking a picture. And until the shutter clicks, it is not established in us as truth. Can you hear me, somebody? Until the shutter clicks in our hearts and our minds, it's not stored as truth. But as we continue to focus on something, there's a point in our focusing that we click and it becomes truth to us, whether it's true or not. Whether it's true or not, it tends to be truth to us. Is it not a hard thing to undo something that you believe is true? Is that not a hard, once something's established in the human soul, the human mind as truth, it is hard to undo it. The concept of the kingdom of God is to undo that very thing. How do we undo a truth that has that we have focused on, we've clicked on, we've stored it as truth? How is that ever undone? Well, it's undone by the ways of the Spirit. Only the Spirit, not the ways of the mind, the ways of the Spirit. Jesus gives us the example. The truth is, we were all failed with sin and were destined for hell. Correct? That's the truth. How did that absolute truth change? Jesus died our death that we might have life. So therefore, it took a greater truth, to supersede a previous truth. It didn't say that the previous truth was a lie. It said that the previous truth was a truth, but the preceding truth was not as great as the latter truth. So therefore, even though there is truth in your mind, whether it's true or not, it's still established within you as truth. So our goal is not so much to decide if the truth that's in us is the truth or not. The goal is we're looking for the truth that's greater than the truth that's been established in us. To look for your truth to see if it's true tends to come by we're trying to justify. You see, there's a little lawyer in all of us that fights for the truth. It just so happens that each one of our little lawyers is trying to preserve us with a truth, whether it's true or not. So whether a person's truth is true or not is not, to me, the biggest thing. The biggest thing is, whether it's true or not, there is another truth that's greater than the truth that has been stored within you. Now, with that in mind, we've got to understand in shifting atmospheres, we are looking for the atmosphere to be changed by the greater truth. Let's watch it as we move forward. Now, in shifting atmospheres, a little recap real quickly, not taking much time here. We went over anticipation of shift, gathering atmosphere shift, relationship, that's our relationship with the heavenlies, and heavenly places, atmospheric shift, what we're after. Those are previous teachings, is to bring that that's in heaven to the earth, like Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we are going to entertain, and the reason I gave that introduction of shifting truths, it's because what is in heaven is to supersede or is to trump what's on earth. But you got to understand something. Truths on earth are trying to, if you're dealing with what the truth on earth is, you're dealing with substandard truth. You need to be studying supernatural truth. Well, Alan, I need to know the truth on earth. Well, okay, go ahead if you want to do that. Doesn't make any difference to me if it's true or not. Can you hear me? Listen, insanity is based upon truths that somebody thinks something's true, whether it's true or not. That's insanity. You're insane. I've been in and out of more mental hospitals than y'all been to church. Not as a patient, even though maybe that'll be revisited one day. But my mother had tremendous mental instabilities. I've been there. I know what being mentally unstable, I know how it thinks. It will fight for the truth. The truth will destroy the individual as the truth has established the truth in their minds. Stability of the spiritual world is your only hope of sanity and of salvation. The Bible declares and demands it will give you a sound mind. But you must give up your insane thinking for a sound mind. The thinking of this world is not the thinking of heaven. You must decide who you will follow. Excuse me for getting a little excited. Now, there is something out there in the heavenly atmospheres that opposes what God's doing. You have been born again to grow into the becoming of who you are going to be for eternity. It has begun. It has begun. The reality of future has begun. We must put off our old ways of thinking. We must take on the thinking of heaven. You're going to spend more time in heaven than on earth. So surely we could see the reasoning, if nothing else, of the necessity of thinking like where we're going. It's with that privilege that God says we can do that now. It's called the divine nature, 2 Peter chapter 1. He says we can now have the nature that we're going to have in heaven. Now, it has begun. We have been commissioned, we have been called to bring these things that are in heaven to the earth. You can say, but Alan, I've tried and it hadn't worked. That's the truth. Well, are you going to let that be the final truth in your life? Could there be a greater truth than your established truth? Do you believe that God has supernaturally changed and worked on the behalf of people? Do you believe that? Is that an established truth? That is a truth. Is it a truth that God can do anything, anytime He wants to, any way He wants to, anyhow He wants to? Is that true? Yes, it's true. So does your truth limit the truth of God? No, it does not. Our truth is not based on success and failure. Somebody please get it. We operate and live upon truth of the spirit world. Has nothing to do with success and failure. If we are to be here on this hill and die on this hill, so be it. We've been called to stand on this hill. What are we after? We are after obedience unto the call of God in each life. Well, you say obedience is fine, but do you not think we need to know what we need to be obedient unto? Obedience is one thing, but being obedient unto something is another. Now, it's with that in mind that we have this spiritual atmosphere. We realize that we're calling to live unto this heavenly host. We see here, but there's something out there is opposing what God's trying to accomplish through us, His people. To change atmosphere, you must be who you came here to be. Think about it. To change atmosphere, you must be who you came here to be. So do you not think that it's important to find out who you came here to be? I went over the last few weeks. Other people and of the world is constantly telling you who you need to be. Right? Most people in life, just think about this. Most people in life never have enough time to stop and ask himself this question. Who was I sent here to be? Most people's not had time because they're too busy trying to live up unto who a husband says you should be or who a wife says you should be or who your children say you should be. That's right. That's right. We need to live unto who God says we're to be. That's right. You say, well, Alan, that sounds a little shaky. Well, go ahead and shake. That's all I can tell you. You got to find out who God's called you to be if you're going to be who you're going to be. You can't do what you're going to do until you be who you're going to be. Because if you try to do what others are telling you to do, you're doing something you've not been called here to be. And the kingdom of heaven comes because you are being. Be is the beginning. It's the preceding word. Be. is the preceding word to becoming. You can't escape it. If you're going to become like Him, you got to be first. It's the preceding word to becoming. Now, understanding our atmospheric position, what do? We know who we're supposed to be. We're trying to become like Christ. We got to silence all these voices of everybody saying, well, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. I don't think I can tell you, everybody just hush. So somebody can sit down in a quiet place with God and say, God, who am I? Who am I to become? I don't want to become what my husband thinks, what my wife thinks, what my children thinks, what my boss thinks, what the president thinks. I don't want to do none of that. I want to become who you've sent me here to be. Because, God, you tell me you would have died if it was just been for me. I know why you came, Jesus. But the question is, why did I come? You came to be becoming like Him. And you have to silence all of the good voices as well as the bad. You got to hear from God yourself. That's what we have to do. So the battlefield is a constant battle of others telling you who you're supposed to be. And you can feel the frustration down in yourself. I'm supposed to be this, and I guess. Everybody says this is who I'm supposed to be, so I guess everybody's right. Something about that doesn't sound right to me. You see, don't be scared of God. God's waiting to lead you and tell you who you're supposed to be. And if you're one of those people that's telling everybody else who you're supposed to be, you need to hush. Because you're on dangerous ground. Smarty pants. That's right. Telling everybody who they're supposed to be. What's wrong with you? Come on. If somebody's not doing well, you can give them a word of encouragement. But are you praying for them 10 times more than you're talking? That's the question. You don't really want anybody to change. You want to control people. That's not God. Now, understanding, we got to get our position down of who we are in Christ. When we know who we are in Christ, it says this. What do? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. So we're trying to get this mindset of who we're going to be, who we're becoming, and we are becoming like who we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1. We want to take on this divine nature. We can take on the nature now that we're going to have there. It's a nature. If you take on the divine nature, you're going to lose your nature. You're going to become something better than you really are. Anybody want to sign up for that one? Listen, it's just the truth. Let me move on here. Now, how many of you can say, I said this last week, how many of you can say I have lived up to my full potential? Remember, who have you been sent here to become? Have you lived up unto that full potential of the reason you've been sent? Nobody is a duplicate. Everybody's life sets or can change the course of history being made. Not one life can be expended. Are you with me? Every life has been set to this earth to set the course of history, the course of the kingdom of heaven. Watch it. You do not operate in the life based on what you know. You operate in life based on how you see yourself. It's very important. You operate in life based on how you see yourself. If you see yourself as being a failure, you will operate in life as being a failure. You tend to see yourself as others say you are. Right? That's how we tend to see ourselves. If we don't, it's because it's a battle that we are fighting. Now, you will follow who you admire. In following Christ, you must be aware that you are in a state of a continual becoming. That's the reason I said you got to see who you're going to be before you can do what you're going to do. And be is the preceding word to becoming. Is anybody excited about becoming? Huh? I really am excited about becoming. This is not all there is. As the TV program said, there's more to come. Right? We're becoming. You must see yourself as worthy. I covered that last week. You must see yourself as worthy of becoming. You must trash and throw away these voices that says you're not. Someone else's opinion of you, good or bad, does not have to be your reality. You must pursue your becoming, for as you do, you are creating a new reality. Becoming is a forward motion. As you're becoming, you're headed somewhere. Now listen, pride causes us to defend where we are. If you defend where you are, you're wasting good time to go to where you're going. Why defend where you are if you're not staying there? Are you with me? That's pride. It's okay. Say, wow, glory, hallelujah, look where I'm at. Now I'm going. But I know people that's been defending where they are for 30 years. And they're at the same cotton-picking place they were 30 years ago. Well, bless God, this is bad and that's bad and this is over and that's that. Well, bless God. I am a super guy, woman, on how bad things are. Aren't y'all proud of me? That's just pride. Pride totally defends where a person is. For 5 seconds, say, glory, hallelujah, now let's go. I'm not going to take too much pride where I'm at because I'm not staying here. Right? My anticipation of who I'm becoming, where I'm going, is captivated my vision. As I've said before, if I can say it again, and I can't. What you know got you to here, but it won't take you to where you want to go, because if it would, you'd already be there. That's right. So we find ourselves wanting to become. If we wanted to become, we got to have new marching, or we got to have new revelations on where to go. If you're not getting new revelation, pride covers over our laziness. And then we protect where we are because we're too lazy to move forward and repent. Four things about the heavenly atmospheres that's out here opposing us moving forward and becoming in God. It's important that we see this true spiritual atmosphere if we're going to change atmosphere. Number one, they're real. They're just as real as rain. They are real. They have real geographic influence. They really do. Do you think that there were principalities and powers over Las Vegas before Las Vegas was built? Or do you think men with evil hearts went and built Las Vegas and then it drew principalities and powers? It's the evil hearts. They have real geographical influence. Now, your heart, the condition of your heart, draws spiritual beings. If your heart stinks, you're going to draw stinking stuff. This means, yeah, I understand. If your heart stinks, it draws stinking stuff. You tend to draw unto you. The heart has an odor. I don't have time to prove that to you, but in the spirit, your heart has an odor, has a spiritual smell. That's the reason you can say, well, this is everything in my life. It's just doing this, it's doing that. And you keep, and then the next day you keep drawing more. Why? You're stinking in that area. Now, Jesus is geographically somewhere also. The heart of Christ will draw spiritual things from heaven. Can you hear me? We are a player in this thing called His heaven coming to the earth. We are players. And you can pray all day long, but you draw. You give away what you draw unto you. You got to see this, folks. Prophetically, as a prophetic people, we draw from the spirit world. Why do you study? Why do you worship? Why do you read God's Word? Why are we sitting in here today? So that we start drawing things of heaven. But you got to be willing to become and not defend where you are. It says this in Ephesians. It says it like this. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power, might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, you can see into this scripture. It shows you how where Christ is sitting supersedes what's underneath him. The scripture says he'll stand on top of him. It'll be his footstool. Here, Christ's position is greater than the second heaven places. We must be seated in our hearts and our spirits with Christ. You must know who you are. You must recognize who you are. You must understand your authority. You got to see that you're worthy. And by understanding that, that translates and forms you into the third heaven with authority. I've just told you how you get to third heaven. Authority over. Now, let's move on. Not only are they real, they have organized structure. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Host. Look at host. Uh-oh. I'm bringing something else into the scene here. We're in these heavenly places. They're real. Christ is here, third heaven, second heaven. Then we start seeing this host thing. Now, I'm going to be going over this host thing in the next few weeks. What is the heavenly host? What do they have to do with us? A lot. It's been prophesied before here that there are certain angels above this church. Say, well, Alan, I don't believe it. Well, it doesn't change angels any. Okay? Now, I want to bring us into an understanding of this host in the next few weeks. What is this in the Old Testament? It says a mass of person organized for war, an army. By implication, a campaign, literally or figuratively. Specifically, through hardship and worship. You might see that. King James means it's an appointed time there's an army. Wow. Battle, company, host, service, soldiers. Waiting upon war. I'm sorry to inform you, we're in a war. We're in a battle. We're not on vacation yet. We got eternity to do that. We're not there yet. I can't help it. It's just where we are. I got to tell you the truth, where we are. Now, keep this in mind, this heavenly host. There is a detailed, organized governmental structure in the heavenly places that create atmospheres. There's an atmosphere over Las Vegas. Its success is based on the heavenly atmosphere. It didn't start that way. Men's hearts went there with the intention of drawing unto. Listen, Las Vegas is successful because of its heavenly structure. And it will draw men unto it that have a kinship to the structure. You got me? So does the Spirit of Light. We want to pray and call forth a heavenly host structure above this place and this area. Can you feel it? As soon as I said it, that it'll draw unto it the kingdom of heaven. You got to understand something, prophetic people. The anointing draws. Anointing is not just of light and of Christ. The evil one draws. Has a drawing power. That's the reason if you yield to his evilness, it'll draw you in further. Further. And it draws you. We must wake up and say, whoa, I'm drawing, I'm heading in the wrong direction here. I'm being drawn by evil spirits, not the Spirit of Light. So therefore, our hope is that this little church could be an oasis in which it draws you and draws others. As the kingdom of heaven comes to the earth at this place, automatically, you can say, well, can't God do it other places? Yes, and we're for that too. But until we secure this one, then we're going to go. Let's secure this one first. But you got to get it. You got to understand that there's spiritual governmental structure out here in the spirit. And it draws. Just like Las Vegas draws, and a church can draw. Just like your heart draws. If a continually bad things keep happening to you, you've got to quit confessing it and raising the flag. Hey, I'm having a bad life. Everybody come. I need some more for tomorrow. My pride says, tomorrow bad things happen. And my pride says, see, I told you so. We take pride in drawing bad things into ourselves just so we can say we're right. And you know I'm telling you the truth. Quit it. Repent. Quit it. You're drawing this stuff to you. Quit it. Oh, to God, quit it. Now, is everybody with me on the structures? The Apostle Paul uses terms to describe the governmental structure. For by him were all things created that are where? Heaven and where? Earth. Visible and what? Is one just as real as the other? Yes. Whether they be what? Thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. It's all created and it's all real, visible and invisible. Say, well, Alan, what happened in the invisible? There was a fall from heaven. Y'all know the story, right? So now we find ourselves in this battle. God created a heavenly and an earthly governmental structure. It's here. The governmental structure. We have a part in building the governmental structure over this church and over your life. You got to decide which governmental structure are you going to live in. It's over your life. You establish it. God made it available. Satan makes his available. Your governmental structure that you live your life in precedes you everywhere you go. Now, God creates the position of authority, the position has authority. When you have decided to live under the governmental structure of the kingdom of heaven, you have governmental authority in that position in the kingdom of heaven. When you live under the governmental structure of the kingdom of darkness, you are nothing but a mere pawn in which is used as a prostituted human being. It's all you are. Demons of hell's living their life through you. through lust, through alcohol, through lying, through pride. The kingdoms of darkness prostitute you. Live through your life. You have no authority. You've given it all over to that structure. But when you live in the structure of the kingdom of heaven, you have authority. You are somebody. It's the reason you have to know who you've been sent here to be. Because you're becoming, and you need to become because you got to understand God's given you authority. You're not a pawn any longer. You're in a place of authority. Listen, you can say, well, Alan, I'm not worthy of authority. It doesn't make any difference. The position you're in's got the authority. President Bush, all the Bushes were president one time. They don't have the authority of a president. It's the position. You see, you got to see yourself worthy and who you're becoming so you'll step into your cotton picking position. Somebody say amen. We got to do it. Quit waiting on it to happen. It's already set up. Decide whose government you're going to operate in. The authority is there. Now, this position has dreams. Now, I'm shifting here a little, not much. This authoritative position has dreams with it. It's called vision of the prophetic. You start operating in this authority. All of a sudden, you have these dreams. You say, where did it come from? These dreams have authority to become because of the position. Oh, come on, church, please grab it. The dreams that are in your life were put there by God. I'm talking about the dreams of light, put there by God. Well, if God put it there, is it possible it can happen? Well, what if God put it there, but you don't feel like you're worthy enough for it to happen? This means duh. You must believe that it is possible because. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So if the dream in you of light and of the kingdom is too big, it's God. If it's little enough for you to do it, it's not God. There's a dream out there for you that's bigger than you. But you have to become before you can get it. The dream's waiting there to become reality because it's bigger than you. And you're going to sit back and say, oh, my God. It's real. It's bigger than me. Now, listen, the overwhelming part, if you could hear this, the overwhelming part is not that the dream comes true. The overwhelming part is when you feel this rush of anointing because you know God's looking at you as an individual. He gave you a dream. And just it could be nobody but your God on the earth. And you know God's looking at you. The wave, the wind of that anointing, it just goes across your face. You get hot. You get chills. You're like, oh my God. It came true. Well, it's not that it came true. It's the deal. It's that God sees you. It's the deal. God knows you're there. He sees you. He gave you the dream. He said, you become who you are in Christ Jesus. We're going to do this thing. God can't give you a spiritual weapon until you become who you're supposed to become. The authority's there. The kingdom of darkness prostitutes you. In the kingdom of God, you become who you've been sent here to be. And you ain't seen it all yet. What is the enemy of dreams? These God-given dreams has an enemy. It's called fear. Are you with me? These dreams from God has an enemy. It's called fear. Fear has a voice of telling you why not and how you will fail. There's an enemy to the kingdom of heaven coming to the earth. There's an enemy to your becoming who you've been sent here to be. There's an enemy. It's called the spirit of fear. It's a little voice in there that tells you who you're not. It's just a little voice saying, well, you're not going to do it just right. It's this voice that says, you're going to fail. Right? It's all of these voices that keep speaking. Fear is trying to be prophetic to your future. Can you see that? Fear is trying to be prophetic to your future. Fear keeps you from moving forward. Fear of failure. All this fear is trying to create prophetic truth. You can say, but Alan, it is the truth. I have failed. Yeah, but there is a greater truth to cancel out your truth. Are you with me now? You see why I established that in the beginning? There's a greater truth going to cancel your truth. Fear comes out of the fallen nature of man. In the garden, they covered themselves. It was all fear. All fear-based. Have you ever said this to yourself? I didn't see that one coming. Anybody ever said that? Anybody ever said this? I didn't budget for that. Anybody ever said that? See, when that happens, it creates more fear. You feel like you weren't prepared. You feel like, oh no. I want to show you something on that one. Fear keeps us from success. Fear keeps us from success. What is success? Success is becoming who you've been sent here to be. You were created to be successful in the things of the kingdom. We will fail at things of this world because we have been designed to be successful in the things of the kingdom of God. Those things that are eternal. Those things that will not burn. It's trying to keep this kingdom coming success from happening. Now remember, I showed you, this is real. This is real. Success is a battle. We all have one lifetime to overcome fear. Now please hear me. There's not a person sitting here who doesn't have to deal with fear. You can say, well, I don't deal with fear. Well, you're in denial. Everybody deals with fear of some type. And I'm not kidding about the denial. Some people just push it out and say, well, I don't have it. Well, it's still there. Fear is the enemy to success. Failure is necessary to appreciate success. The human soul operates out of extremes. Black and white. Everything in the middle is gray. Right and left. Up and down. Everything in life has extremes. That's just the way God created us. So therefore, we have failure and success. Now, I want you to hear this. Failure is depositing. The failure, when we stand back up from failure, the standing back up deposits spiritual success. When you save money, do you save $1 million in one day? You save a little at a time. Little at a time. Little. That's why you have more failures than do successes. You see, failures aren't really worth that much. Maybe a nickel. But you got to understand, when you stand back up and say, I can do all things in Christ Jesus. Bless God. Does anybody hear who I am? Yeah, I failed. But I'm standing back up. That's a deposit. The proof that I stood up and my trust in Christ Jesus is a deposit into my success. If you waller in your failure, you're missing your deposit. So when the success comes, she's big. You cash it all in at one time. You know what that cashing in at one time is called? Supernatural. You took natural failure and it turned into supernatural success. I just gave you the spiritual formula of success. Now, we spend this whole lifetime. Fear is overcome, it's not eradicated. Can you hear that? Boy, I don't have but a few minutes. Fear is overcome, it's not eradicated. Fear is not your enemy until you live in it. Use fear for your favor. In martial arts, the key is you use the weight of the opponent against them. That's the trick. In spiritual things, fear, failure, just catapults you into the spirit. The idea is we do not live by success or failure. We live through obedience to truth, the truth that supersedes the little truths. So you failed. So what? Stand up, deposit it into your successful bank. Because when that booger comes, she's going to be a vision of success like you've never seen. You've got to understand who you are. A person who fails is a person who tries. Failure or success is not the issue. Please hear me, somebody. Try something bigger than you. That's right. Fail at it real good. I'd rather stand before God trying than not try at all. Pastor taught on that. It's the gift of the talents. Now, fear is the hurdle in the race. That's what it is. It's just the hurdle in the race. Got to clear the hurdle. Fear is to be overcome, not eradicated. Say, oh, God, I've had fear. Oh, well, get the spirit of fear off me. Like, I'm like, boy, I don't know how we're going to do this one. You see. See, a fear is a battle of yours. I'm going to get into that right quick. I don't have but 2 minutes. To climb a mountain, you must use small steps. Right? If you got a mountain in front of you, how do you climb that mountain? It's just one step at a time. You cannot miss a step to climb your mountain. You got to take every step. This is not for the lazy. This is not for people who want to get it quick. Things of the Spirit's real time. There's no fast, there's no drive-through window of the Spirit of the kingdom of God. Just because man's changed, God's ways have not. You got to climb your mountain one step at a time. Takes hard work. Hope is the weapon against fear. You say, Alan, how can this fear be overcome then? Up there running your mouth, how can it be overcome? It's overcome by hope. You see, Satan's after your hope. Hope is a weapon of fear and is the heartbeat of faith. Now, faith has a heartbeat. Faith is the substance of things, hoped for. So hope is the heartbeat of faith. No hope, no heartbeat. Heartbeat of faith. Wow, with faith, the worlds were framed. Right? Faith changes things. Hope's a heartbeat. Now, I can't tell you how much faith you have, but I can tell you how much hope you have. Do I have a lot of faith or I have a little faith, according to how much hope you got? You can't measure faith, but you can measure hope. Hope is the measuring stick of faith. Now, I'm out of time, but by faith, I'm going to steal 5 more minutes. You must understand that you are more than just a man or a woman. When you are devoted to the truth that God has created you to succeed in Him, will you follow with me fast? You must understand, say, Alan, I want to, that you are more than just a man or a woman when you are devoted to the truth that God has created you to succeed in Him. The gates of hell cannot stop you. No one else can be you. Nobody can be you. There's not another one. Nobody can be you. Nobody's had the same path as you. Nobody's had the same fears as you. You overcome those hurdles. You must see yourself beyond your fears. Uh-oh, here we go. You must see yourself beyond your fears. That's who you're becoming. You don't look where you are. That's pride preserves where you are. Fears, pride. It's just pride. I can't pat you on the back and say, poor little you. I have to say, repent. You have pride. Quit preserving your fears. Repent. You got to see yourself beyond your fears and then start becoming. You're more powerful than any fear you have. Come on, somebody. There's more power and anointing in you in any fear that you have. Why? Because you know who you are in Christ, and that authority supersedes any fear. But until you see yourself as that, you will not. I'm getting hot in here. Is anybody else? Don't make your fear more powerful than your dreams. Don't make your fear more powerful than your dreams. What if never succeeds? That's what fear does. Well, what if this? Well, what if that? What if never succeeds? Fear is created. You create fear, so therefore you can destroy it. Ha ha! Got you in a corner, didn't I? Fear is created in your mind. You create fear, so therefore you can destroy it. Can somebody hear that? You must face your fears, not run. Nelson Mandela said this, I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. What do you think? I got one more on old Nelson. Here we go. And I'm going to hush. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. We are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others. Yes and amen. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you, O God. Lord Jesus, you know our deal. If there's anything that I've said that's not of you, I pray it'll just fall to the ground. Everybody will just overlook it. But dear God, if anything that I said is of you and is truth of your kingdom, I pray that it'll pierce our hearts. It'll become truth. It will flourish. It will grow. That we will become who you've called us to become. Help us be who you've sent us all here to be. Forgive us, O God, for preserving where we are. Forgive us, O God. But dear God, give us vision of those dreams again. Give us vision of who we're going to become in you. It's all true. But empower us. Empower us, O God. Empower us, O God, as we worship you, as we worship you in song. In Jesus' name we pray.